There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that.
This is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my.
Yeah. Let's get started. Midday Mobile on this Wednesday. Another couple hours of live local talk. Glad to have you all along. My name is Sean. Reminder too, of course, you can listen to us like a lot of you do on a radio. But the high tech solution, I'm going to explain too. I'm pitching this not just to you, I'm pitching this to a younger Sullivan that's in studio. The FM Talk 106.5 app is out there. So if you have that app on your phone, and son, you have your phone right there, so I'll see if you can, we'll get you to download the app. If your phone's ringing, make sure you turn your ringer off, son, because we're in the studio. If you go to your phone, if you go, you have an iPhone like everybody else in our house, your dad's the only one with the Android, you would go to the App Store and look for FM TALK 1065. I would do the same thing over at Google Play. Look for FM TALK 1065. No point between the 6 and 5. You'll see our logo there, son. That's our app. You download the app. It's not going to take you long. You probably already got it downloaded. On there, you'll be able to stream the station. You'll be able to listen to 55 hours a week of live locally produced shows that come from this studio right here at Airport and 65. Plus, you can get our great social media feeds with all the breaking news out there. On top of that, well, you don't drive, but there's a traffic map out there that shows you where traffic is, you know, where it's bad. The latest weather information out there, show schedules out there. Also, you can call us from the app. You can text us from the app. You can even leave us a talkback message. You'll see that microphone icon on the front page. You record a message. It emails it to a station, and I can play it back on the air. So that is the FM Talk 106.5 app. Have you already got it? Did you already get it downloaded?
Yes, I sure. Well, it's downloading right now.
So it's that fast. So since I mentioned this, I didn't give you any preview of this, did I?
No, you did not.
Right, and so you're already here by the next minute or so, you'll have the FM Talk 106.5 app on your phone.
So even when I'm far away from my father, I can listen to his radio station.
There he is. One of my co-hosts today, my son, is in studio. We're going to have a big show today, and he's downloading apps, so you should do the same thing. All right, coming up in just a little bit, Cameron Smith, AL.com and the Triptych Foundation. Hour number two, AL1's Congressman Jerry Carl joins us. Lots to talk about with the congressman on the backside of the omnibus bill that he voted no on. We'll talk about some of the money coming to Alabama there, and also going to talk about the Department of Defense budget and a conversation I want to have about, can you ask this question? Is Department of Defense, is the Pentagon doing the best job with the taxpayer money? Still, obviously, I don't think I need to roll out my support for our armed services, for our military, but maybe I'll have to double down on it for you. But, you know, the question's about, are we spending the money the best way there? We'll talk about that as well. Plus, what about speakership for Kevin McCarthy? That's in the mix as well. All right, as we get started, a couple things. I know that during Jeff's show, I guess I have to go back and look at his text, which I probably won't have time to, but he said people were texting in about this Santos story, okay? About the Santos story. So Santos, you know, the Flanagan, the SNL Flanagan character of this election cycle. New York Post reports Santos, who made history running as an openly gay Republican, is facing accusations that he lied about his past employment, where he went to school, and that he did not report income on his federal financial disclosures, potentially a crime. Also facing accusation, he lied about his Jewish heritage and ancestors. The guy lied about a whole bunch of stuff, right? So, and it seemed like, I guess, what was happening to Jeff is people were trying to have a litmus test that Jeff's job was to call out Santos. And so if somebody who was a Democrat or a liberal would enjoy that because they would gain a pound of flesh, right, from the genuflection of Jeff Poore. Here's the difference. I don't care. care. If you're a liar, you're a liar. I don't care what letters behind your name. The guy's a fool. But what I want to point out, though, if you want to play this game, hey, people are texting, what about the President of the United States? What about that? I mean, you got President of the United States, President Biden, who claimed he got arrested for protesting civil rights. He said he was arrested in South Africa trying to visit Nelson Mandela. Remember, he talked about his college record that wasn't true. There's charges of plagiarism against him in his 88 campaign, presidential campaign. Remember the truck driving story? We've talked about a lot of times where President Biden would be on the campaign trail talking about, oh, you know, I'm a regular Scranton working class guy and driving truck, and I did a lot of truck. He did not. Or you want to say Elizabeth Warren and her claims of Native American heritage. How about John Kerry and his claims of his service in Vietnam? So they're all liars. Here's one of the things I agree with Jeff on, though. You can't vet Democrats. You can't vet every candidate that comes in the mix. Republicans can't either. The difference is if you continue to vote for those people. I would imagine Santos in 2 years will be out. I mean, if you could run against him so easily and point out all the lies this Republican did on the campaign trail. But interestingly enough, I just went down a list of three pretty big name Democrats that got support even after the information came out. So listen, I'm not going to get in here and defend Santos. Guy's a fool. He's a liar. But he's now been elected. So those folks in New York, then, you know, they in 2 years have a chance to vote him right out. So, I mean, it's this idea that you need to genuflect and fall on the altar if that person's in your party. And Jeff being a party truist, people are coming after him for that. But I just want to open up with that. All right, that's just the opening up of today's show. So we'll hear from you on the text line, I'm sure. People that disagree will go first at 251-343-0106. Now, let's get in some local stories. And this one here, so as the news has been running this morning, it's, you know, because I guess there weren't any apartment fires or anything like that to report on, so TV News had switched to gunplay and talked about, number one, the Mobile police officer that had to use his weapon. But the story from Walmart, okay, the story from Walmart has got my attention. I was just in that Walmart the other night. Just in there. It's the one on the Beltline, the one that's, you know, east of 65. South of Dolphin Street, North Airport, right? So I have been in that Walmart and felt like something could break out at any point. The later in the evening I go in there, I feel like that. But nothing ever has. So to hear the story about what went down at the self-checkout aisle, which is a whole other world we're going to discuss here, the self-checkout aisle. Let me do this. Let's go to WPMI's report on this. So NBC 15, if I can find. So, and you see how many tabs I have open? It's out of control. It's way too many tabs. I should have some tab etiquette, and I don't. What happened to that tab? That tab is now not open. We had it queued up for the audio. Oh, there it is. All right, so let's go to this. So this is from WPMI, mynbc15.com. And you've got maybe a little bit of the intro here, but they go to the reporter live on the scene here. Let's go to, here's the cut. Here's the cut from their website, and it goes like this.
An hour. That's right, Kim. This is off of the Beltline. This is a Walmart Supercenter. The store went into lockdown after shots rang out, injuring several people. A shopper who did not want to be on camera but says he saw it all go down, saying it was a very scary situation. A police presence still remains on scene. SWAT team is also on the scene, and the market side of the entrance is taped off, and folks cannot go in at this time. We spoke to Police Chief Paul Prine just a few minutes ago, saying this all took place over an near the self-checkout line.
At about 8:30, we had two groups of individuals in the self-checkout line here at the Walmart on the Beltline that's behind me. Apparently an altercation ensued where the two groups exchanged gunfire.
Okay, let me just stop there. So you're the self-checkout line, which is already a kind of pain because if I'm going to roll up there and, you know, I'm checking the items, but then I have some beers in there, then I got to get the person to come over and clear me to do the beers or whatever. And you're sitting there doing the, you know, scan it yourself deal. So that could lead to some angst in people. Probably not enough, I would imagine, to break out the toast, break out the heaters break out the GATs there in the self-checkout. That make you laugh, son, the GATs. Break them out there in the checkout line and go to shooting. Let's go back here to Chief Prine.
Amini is not known at this time. Obviously, this part's under investigation.
Prine could not confirm if an employee was hurt in the incident. And employees and shoppers still remain on scene as this continues, but the store is remaining closed for the night.
Okay, so, so there's the report. So they're at the self-checkout. They're scanning there. And then they think, the reaction there was to pull out the heat and to go to it, to start shooting. So two shot at the Walmart. That's not far here from the station. I guess it's season's greetings. I'm not sure. There's absolutely been a big improvement in gun violence in our city. And Chief Prine has talked about the techniques, the kind of holistic approach they've done. I mean, the stats show that it's come down. But we still have a part of our society out there, part of our society, that thinks, I'll tell you what, I don't like this person. They disrespected me. I don't know if this gang on gang, what this is. But we're here at the bleep, bleep, bleep self-checkout at Walmart. And here's what we're going to do. We're going to start shooting each other. There's other people who are not in your Hatfield and McCoy dispute there as you're scanning a mop combo and some oranges, and 12-pack of Diet Coke, or whatever you're scanning. They're just trying to get their groceries and go to the house. You decide this is the right time to start shooting. They're in the Walmart. So, just, okay, so Maximus, Maximus says they are really serious about line cutting at Walmart. Maximus, it is not okay to produce the heaters and go at it there. As if I needed more disincentive to ever go to that Walmart again. Yeah, well. There we go. 1218 FM Talk 106.5. We'll grab some phone calls when we get back. Also, voluminous text messages coming in to 343-0106. It's Midday Mobile, FM Talk 106.5. Be right back.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, 1222, FM Talk 106.5 in Midday Mobile. Glad to have you along on this Wednesday. Check in with our buddy at LCM Motorcars, David McCrary. And let's talk about here at the end of the year and financing and getting people approved. How's it looking?
You know, we talk about financing all the time. And I've been doing this 33 years, and I get surprised every day by things that happen. People that have had problems, and some people that just hadn't paid. But I'm telling you, we can get them financed. If they've got a down payment and they've got proof of income, they need to come see us, and we'll put them in a really nice car. It won't be a car that's going to give you problems. We'll give everybody a warranty for 3 months, 3,000 miles on everything we sell. Just got to come give us an opportunity.
Something you've done over time, too, that I like is you got that warranty, but if we're really looking at a vehicle and we say, I'd like my mechanic to check it out, you're good with that.
No issues. No problem. Absolutely. We'll take it for you. If you're at work and you need us to take it and drop it off at your mechanic and let him look at it or wait on it or whatever, I mean, we're all about it. You're welcome to take them home overnight. As long as we've got full coverage insurance, we're good to go.
All right. Tell folks how to find you.
We're at Highway 90 and Plantation in Theodore. That's exit 15A on I-10, 1 mile south. Go to the website, lcmmotorcars.com, or give us a call at 251-375-0068.
Thanks, David.
Have a good day, Sean.
You too. David McCrary checking in from LCM Motorcars. And yes, to answer the question, my son is, he's left the studio a little bit. Some of the coworkers here are taking him out to lunch or something. His dad never gets to go to lunch, but he's going out to lunch. I don't know how many martinis are at lunch, but he'll be back in the 1 o'clock hour. Also coming back in the 1 o'clock hour, Congressman Jerry Carl joins us. All right, go to the phones and then we can get some text. First up is Mike in Daphne. Hey, Mike. I got Mike there. Where'd he go? Mike and Daphne, are you there? Mike going once. All right, we'll put him on hold here. We'll see what happens. I don't know. You can check it out in there. Let me know. It seemed weird. Hey, Leanna, it seemed weird up here on the phone hybrid. I don't know what's going on with it. Maybe it's a end of the year thing. I don't know. Does it seem to be working? I don't know. We'll keep moving. All right. Text line here. Joshua says, Sean, I made a recent vow to vote Republican every time a liberal and or Democrat yells or screams at me over politics. So this lying Republican politician has no influence on me. Thanks. All right. A named texter said, what about Biden in the beginning of his campaign where he said he was going to cure cancer? Whatever happened to that? I still believe cancer is around. So is COVID. You know, but there's, and I'm with you, a named texter, but there, you know, there's, listen, I mean, former President Trump did a lot of this stuff too, you know. But he did hit on some of the cylinders and did what he said he was going to do. It's there is a difference. Like, I agree with you, a named texter, that they'll say, I'm going to, by the end of my presidency, fix whatever problem is out there. But there is a difference when you have, you know, candidates lying about, it's fraud, right? It's election fraud. They're going to tell you that's this, that, and the other, that, you know, the Santos guy, I mean, he was trying to check off all boxes, right? I'm a this, I'm a that, I'm a, I mean, you have political chameleons. I mean, Lord knows, they wherever they go, I mean, we can go to the Hillary Clinton with the, what I found kind of offensive accent she did when she's, you know, talking in a black church. Give me a break, really? Just be a normal human being. Speak like you speak and talk to people. But they do this. They try to get, I mean, Mitt Romney. Where's that cut? I used to play that cut all the time, the varmints thing. So when Romney was running for president, he, like so many others, will try, they used to, I think times have changed, but they try to get influence over outdoors folks like me and act like they're all engaged in the outdoors. And Mitt Romney says, you know who also did that? Luther Strange did that to some degree in the Senate race, trying to act like they're all down with the outdoors. Instead of just saying, hey, I don't do that, but I, you know, I'll defend people's right to do that. But Mitt Romney was like, I did a lot of hunting. Big hunter, and I think some reporters like, well, what'd you hunt? He said, the varmints. Varmints, a lot of varmint hunting. Varmints. They said, like, what varmints? He said, well, varmints. Varmints. Any specific varmints? And I'm paraphrasing here, and he couldn't ever come up with that. So they do that stuff. But this Santos thing, I mean, God lied. So here's how it works in our system. He's in the House. 2 years from now, you get to vote him out, put somebody else in there. Oh, yeah, and somebody sent me this link. Yeah, shocking here, isn't it? Headline, and they were talking about this on some of the monitors we have here in the studio. They were having the round table daytime cable news network shows where they take one subject and have like 18 people talk about it. You're talking about an easy job. They would melt under the stress of doing a radio show because they had a million people to talk with on there. You're talking about this story. CNN Health has it. All around the world, women are better empathizers than men, study finds. Let me say, in a related story, study finds the sun rises in the east. Now, it says no matter where they live in the world, no matter what their cultural and family influences, in general, women are better at empathizing with other people than men, according to a study published Monday in the journal PNAS. No, it's PNAS. It's the PNAS. It's an acronym. Your mind out of the gutter. Researchers from the University of Cambridge in the UK said the study is the largest of its kind to date, looking at a particular form of empathy, something scientists call theory of mind or cognitive empathy. Empathy is an important quality because it governs the way in which people interact socially. It impacts the way their personal relationships develop. All right, thank you for the lecture. But they did this testing here, right? And big reveal. In 36 countries, women scored an average significantly higher in their cognitive empathy scores than men did. In 21 countries, women and men's scores were similar. There wasn't a single country in which men scored better. Why do we need this? We knew this. I mean, how much money do we spend in this study? Now, are there men? I think I'm pretty empathetic as a dude, which would put me probably mid-pack as a chick, right? So in the dude world, I'm pretty darn empathetic. But I would probably score like a C, maybe C plus in the women's world. It's a normal thing. That's what our mamas do for us, right? Our mamas take little boys and at least cut against the grain of being a little boy some and said, hey, you need to think about how that made somebody else feel, right? We get that. But now they have this big, and everybody's sitting around talking about it. Oh, can you believe this? The study shows women are better empathizers than men. I'm not feeling any love for that. Maybe that's because I'm a guy. All right, coming back, we'll ask that question a whole lot more of Cameron Smith, AL.com, and the Triptych Foundation. Speaking of which, he is going to be guest hosting. Tomorrow, it's a Cam show. here on Midday Mobile. Cameron Smith is going to guest host for me hour number one of tomorrow's show. So noon to one, Cameron Smith hosting. And then from one to two, very special, Cam Marston, What's Working? One to two tomorrow here on FM Talk 106.5. Because tonight at six, Auburn basketball on the air. So some programming notes, we can talk more about that. But that happens tonight. So tomorrow at 1 o'clock, What's Working with Cam Marston. From noon to one, Cameron Smith guest hosting this very program. All right, we'll be right back.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Oh, good. Now that Buttigieg vows to hold Southwest accountable. You know, we're in this strange situation here where you've got all these federal subsidies that'll go into airlines that make it not a clear free market discussion, which bothers me greatly. But at the same time, do we feel that more regulation, because it won't just be for Southwest, it's going to start with Southwest and then it'll go through the other airlines. It stinks for the people. I get it. Listen, I've been through it, not with Southwest, but with other airlines, been delayed for days and do the overnight. I've been there and done that. But is that, any problem comes up and they're like, well, somebody ought to do something about it. And then the pendulum swings way too far the other way. I don't know. Let me get some response on that. A friend of mine is waiting to talk to us right now from AL.com, Cameron Smith. Hey, man.
Hey, Sean. Well, that's the reason I'm driving to the Sugar Bowl. I saw what was happening at the airports, and so I'll see y'all down there.
Yeah, let's navigate this a little bit for a second here. Okay, the it's not pure and clear. Like normally, my reaction is a free market. You know, let the market work it out. But the airlines get bailed out; they get special deals, this and that. So, are they quasi government? You know, and then if we move into fixing all the problems, as the government has as much control of it as it does Facebook. I'm sorry, does it become like the postal service? Has it become Aeroflot here? I mean, yeah, I don't know what I don't know the right. I mean, I would rather take away the subsidies and let them let the market do what it's going to do. But that's an unpopular opinion, probably.
Well, it's also the right one because I heard a lot of people saying, "I will never fly Southwest again ever." Okay.
There you go. Cool. Market solution.
There's your market signal right there. That business is going to a different airline. And if that airline can't provide the service, then, oh my goodness, they will be punished as well. And I think the idea that, well, government, come here and fix it. Government's not your dad. Government's job isn't to come in here and say, oh, I'm sorry. Did you have a flight cancellation? Let me fix it for you. Like, sure, Southwest made a big error, huge mistake, lots of inconvenience. I get it. I understand. Your holidays might have been ruined. But the idea that the government now needs to fix it, even Buttigieg, I heard him on the air, and he was like, yeah, Southwest has said that they're going to make this right and then some with their customers. Yeah, because they want to stay in business.
Yeah.
And so Buttigieg's like, I guess we could fine them or something, but like, that's not the point. The point is Southwest needs to make it right, and they're going to do it. So quit looking to government to fix your problems, and certainly quit doing that and calling yourself a conservative.
There we go. I just had some mic issues there. Yeah, but the problem is that you know, the hey, I'm going to let the free market work it out doesn't get you accolades, doesn't get, you know, do something, fix it for me. I mean, the problem that stains this whole thing is these bailouts, right? And these special deals cut for airlines and subsidies and all that. I mean, of course, you could turn around and argue with me if you say, well, if we don't do that, then we don't have American Airlines staying in business. And then we're at the, you know, beck and call of whatever, Qatari Air or something like that, you know, or Aeroflot or Air France.
Well, my response to all of this has been, we should be smarter. We shouldn't bail out folks and just give them money. Everything should be a condition. I'm fine with bailing out an industry sector when it's crashing. I don't love it, but I understand it. But here's the deal. We'll bail you out, but then you're paying us back with interest over time out of your profitability. These airlines make money. The idea that they can't do that is ridiculous. And so that's the smart way to handle this stuff. And then again, the market can function properly. But to say, well, we bailed you out, so now we have to have a say in everything, that's stupid.
All right. Let's talk about something else that is tripping the text line around here this morning. And that is, even though we started talking about it yesterday, George Santos, right? So incoming House member George Santos out of New York. And if I had time here, I'd play the John Lovitz, Tommy Flanagan clip from SNL. Yeah, that's right. That's what I said. I mean, the guy's lied about, I don't know, it's like a page worth of lies to get elected. And the things he chose to lie about, like, how are you not going to get caught on those?
Yeah, this to me is one of the most bizarre political stories I've ever seen. And the things, like you said, he lied about, I mean, wow, man, that's pretty serious. And then his explanation for those things. My favorite, this will forever be one of my favorite political quotes.
Please be the Jewish saying, one.
It is. I mean, wow. Like, he said his mom was Jewish and his grandparents escaped the Nazis during the Holocaust. Like, this is not a small claim. And then he says, I never claimed to be Jewish. I'm Catholic. Because I learned my maternal family had a Jewish background, I said I was Jew-ish.
That is, if y'all have not seen that in print, what Cameron just said, it cracked me up too. He said, "And so I'm not Jewish, I'm Jew-ish." I mean,
right? What? And it's like Jewish-ish. I mean, this to me is the fact that even whether or not he's actually gay was called into question.
Yeah, because he was married to a woman, right? We're not saying that he couldn't, I mean, change, whatever. It's 2020, about to be 2023. Lord knows, I don't know where anything is anymore. But, yeah, like, he was married to a woman. He's Catholic, but he's a gay Jewish guy. He campaigns on.
Right. So, like, this is not a situation where the voters had this information and made an informed decision. This guy just lied about literally everything. Got elected, and the idea that Republicans would now be like, yeah, but he's one of us. No, I'm very much like, not that guy. Like, if you turn a blind eye to this and say, well, look, you know, he embellished his resume. No, this dude has pathologically lied. Like,
but don't you think the corrective, you know, in the genius of the founders, the corrective being a House member, he's, you know, they got 2 years here, and then they could vote him out. Because the pre-clearance thing, I don't know what you do about that, because I started off the show today because to balance it out in the whataboutism, you know, I realize when I'm doing it, I went through the President of the United States and the number of lies, you know, Joe Biden has told. I mean, the truck driving thing is one of my favorite bits. When I need to stretch out a segment, I go into that because it cracks me up and I like to talk about it. Or saying that he was arrested or he was in South Africa trying to visit Nelson Mandela in jail or what, you know, all that is plagiarism in the 88 campaign, or Elizabeth Warren saying that she had all this Native American heritage that she doesn't, or John Kerry talking about what he did. I mean, those are people that got reelected too, those Democrats. So if you reelect them, I think you got a real problem. You know, if you say, oh, yeah, all that stuff is okay. But what do you do with this guy? He's been duly, I guess, elected. I mean, you don't remove him, do you?
Yeah, I mean, this to me, the options are basically exclusions where the House says you don't meet the qualifications to be a member of Congress, or, you know, the election itself was invalid. Neither of those probably apply, so exclusion's not really an option. You could expel him with two-thirds of a vote of two-thirds of the House. But, man, that's pretty serious. I think they, at a minimum here, Republicans should say, look, you're persona non grata. Like, we're not, you can't be caught part of the Republican conversation. We don't want to have a part in anything that this guy's involved with right now, and then let the voters handle it in 2 years, I think is probably what's going to happen. But Republicans basically say, welcome into the fold to a guy that has lied about everything. That's going to be a campaign issue for Democrats. They're going to say, hey, when you're thinking about Republicans, remember this guy who lied about every aspect of his candidacy. Republicans just said, hey, welcome to the club.
Okay.
And we don't want that.
I got a whole other question there. So in New York 3 or whatever it is there in that congressional district. Why were those things? You know, I lament this cultural identity, this what the left does a lot, right? It's just vote on because I check this box or that box. How does that work for the Republican there? Is that changed too, that Republicans are going to get elected because they're gay or Jewish or, you know, came out of the carnival or whatever? I mean, you just make stuff up to get, how does that get you elected?
I don't think this was so much about Santos, because he was a previous loser, right?
Yep.
He had run in the prior cycle and he lost. I think what happened in New York was unique. This was a bad cycle for Democrats in New York because of crime and a number of other issues. They underperformed. And so I think what happened is this guy was saying, oh, he's already lost. He's not going to win. And then he won, right? This was a shock that this guy won. And nobody was actually taking him like a serious candidate. And so they didn't do the homework, right? They knew that there were some issues, but it was like, it doesn't matter. He's a weirdo. There's no way that this is going to win. This guy's going to win. And then he wins, right? So I think what happened there was just a little bit of a shock, and probably to voters too. They were like, okay, you know, I'm fed up with Democrats. I'll give the Republican a chance. And they didn't actually, it wasn't a pro Santos vote. It was a, I don't like the Democrats right now vote.
There you go. Just joining us, talking to Cameron Smith with AL.com and the Triptych Foundation, a little reminiscent of what happened in the declining days of the Tea Party movement, right? In the last gasps of that empire, when if somebody just said they were Tea Party, then they were the candidate. And we had some very strange candidates make it through the Republican primaries. And a lot of them got beat in the general.
Yeah, well, I mean, here's the problem that most Republicans need to be honest about, is we got some strange candidates in office anyway, right? I mean,
well, sure.
We need to start, I mean, none of them.
So the Democrats, so the independents, sure. So does everybody.
Sure, but yeah. You need to learn to keep your weirdos in the attic, right? Like, don't let them, this was a rule in my fraternity house, like the fraternity brothers that were a little weird, you know, they stayed on the third floor. Like, you didn't want them in prime time. And that's a lesson in message control that who I assume will be Speaker McCarthy, needs to really start getting across, that, you know, we can't run down the weird road and win where we need to win. Let's be conservative. Let's have a plan. But, I mean, come on. If we start playing ball with Santos and that kind of stuff, Democrats are just going to bludgeon us to death with it, and we shouldn't let them.
You mentioned McCarthy. So I mean, reading through this morning, and several pieces, one from The Hill, time running short for McCarthy to lock up speakership. What's the deal there? I mean, give us from your experience in Washington. How's this game being played? Is it not a sure thing?
No, it is not a sure thing. I've called different members and said, hey, talk to me a little bit about this. And the issue is you've got, you know, call it 10, 15 hardcore Republican firebrands who, we don't like McCarthy. And so they're like, well, we're not going to vote for him. So, okay, he can't secure the speakership. Well, McCarthy is not actively going to solicit Democrat votes. What's probably going to happen is some Democrats who are kind of in the middle are going to roll over and support McCarthy, and then he'll wind up being speaker. Because otherwise, there is no plan. Andy Biggs will not be Speaker of the House. Jim Jordan will not be Speaker of the House. If McCarthy can't get it based on Republican votes, McCarthy's going to get it based on some Democrats crossing over. The only thing, and I mentioned this before Cheney got beat, there's this sort of Democrats all stay in line, try to find a Republican who will play ball, and they say, okay, we only need a handful of Republicans. We'll make you Speaker of the House if you'll give us a power sharing agreement.
Right.
And then you've got 10 Republicans who say, yeah, we'll be chairman. We'll all be chairman. Let's bond together, side with the Democrats. Now we got a new speaker. That takes a lot of organization. I don't think that'll happen, but yeah, that's what's going on.
Is there a trade behind closed doors? If the Democrats are going to step over and back a McCarthy move, then is there some kind of fealty pledge from McCarthy back to those Democrats?
Yes. And what
that's bad, man. That's bad.
Yes, it, Well, guess what? I would rather him cut a deal with the Andy Biggs of the world and say, well, what do you want? Well, the big thing they want is this. We can procedurally tie things up and remove you as speaker if you do stuff we don't like. Well, no way. You don't let the terrorists run the shop. And that's what would ultimately happen is any Republican agenda that a small that basically the House Freedom Caucus was like, we don't like this idea. They could just make a move to vacate the chair and play games with the speaker's role. And so that's not on the table, but something on the table, given some of these folks more of a seat at the table. That's probably the play that McCarthy's hoping for. But based on the number of folks that are just like, no, I will not negotiate with him. I will not vote for him for speaker. He's going to need Democrats. And the question is, well, what's the price? And
yeah, that's the question.
That's open.
That's a fair question. All right. A question for you before we wrap up, because we didn't talk about it last week. Update on Crockett, the movie. I'm jonesing here, number one, for the Crockett action. Number two, you had me at the cameo from Daniel Boone, because I'm more Boone than Crockett, but I'm interested in this. When's the movie coming out?
So we are in post-production right now. We have a movie in the can. So we are super excited that all of our production is done. And now we've got the composers and the editing and all of that stuff. So hopefully we have this done in the next month or two and that the project's completed. And then we've got to, you know, hopefully find a streamer that's as excited about the project as you are. And then it'll be in homes near you.
Excellent. Hopefully I can get my streaming service, you know, my Gulf Coast Stream or something like that started in time to get the movie on there. And then we just defeat Netflix with it. Don't you think this will be our way to do it?
There's a plan there. I think it can happen.
Excellent. I like your confidence in it. Also, people want to have more of these discussions with you online. Where's the best place to go?
At D. Cameron Smith on Twitter, al.com/opinion. Come and talk to me. Join the conversation and find me in New Orleans for the Sugar Bowl.
All right. Roll Tide, brother.
Roll Tide.
Coming right back. More Midday Mobile. Also, coming up in hour number two, AL1's Congressman Jerry Carl. That and a whole lot more on the way. You stay right there. Right there. Yeah.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Yeah, we have to get that up on the Twitter feed here shortly. If you've seen the Daily Caller videos come out, and I know that to the orthodoxy out there, it'll be hurtful and shocking and all that stuff, but it's Daily Caller doing it, and they were some conservative event, and the smart aleck young Daily Caller conservative reporter had a regular pillow and a My Pillow, and had all these people that endorsing My Pillow. He made them tell him, like, it was like a taste test, but like, which one was a My Pillow? I'll put it up here a little bit. It's very funny, very funny. Even Mike Lindell comes by and does I think about like 80% wrong. People are like, that pillow right there, that's the My Pillow. Well, they weren't right. All right, 1255 FM Talk. We'll put it up here after the show. I'll put it on Twitter, and then Leah and I will get it to you, and we can put it on the Facebook page as well, because it is pretty darn funny. All right, it is Midday Mobile. Hi, I'm Sean. This segment of the show brought to you by 1-800-GOT-JUNK. That's my buddy Trey. He's been doing it for, well, if we're 14 years in Mobile and Baldwin County, getting rid of junk. Could be at your house, could be a storage unit, could be, you know, coming up, New Year's resolution time coming up this weekend, right? Yeah, 2023, we're going to get more organized in our house. And as I say umpteen times, here's my pro tip. Fewer things, easier to organize. So get rid of the junk and do it with my man Trey in 1-800-GOT-JUNK. Go online to 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com. Pick up the phone, call on your Sports Illustrated football phone or whatever you're using. Call 1-800-GOT-JUNK. They'll work with you, find a day that works for you, a window of time that works for you, and they show up. It's a good old-fashioned appointment. You just point at the stuff you want gone, the junk you want gone. They'll quote you a price. You say yes, and get to work right then and get it gone. Get 2023 started the right way with fewer things to organize with 1-800-GOT-JUNK online at 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com. A text of plenty here. Let me get to Greg talking about that women are more empathetic study. Greg said somebody got paid for that study. Shaking my head. Yeah. I mean, sometimes I believe in studies and science and doing, but some things we already know. I don't think we need to revisit that. Damn Yankee, OMG, who is this genius gentleman on your phone line? That was Cameron Smith. Cameron Smith from AL.com. Marty, didn't Jimmy Carter sign the Airline Deregulation Act to remove government control over the airlines? Marty, was it Jimmy Carter or was it Reagan? I don't know that. I'm not saying that like to lead you a certain way. I don't know. I thought it was Reagan. Because remember when, and then we had the air traffic controller strike and all that. Wasn't that together? Same time? I'm not saying I've written the book on that. I'm just bouncing that around in my brain right now. My man Milton says, come on, it could be that the pilots decided it was too bad to fly. Think about how many lives may have been saved by not flying. Do you really want a pilot to be told to fly if he knows it's unsafe? Talk about the Southwest thing. Maximus says, well, as a Navy SEAL, astronaut, special ops, sniper, diver guy, I'm super offended. Well, as they take credit for everything, right? Grant says, yeah, Hillary Clinton taking sniper fire, LMAO. Yep, they all lie. They do all lie. But I'm saying to... Cameron makes a point. You don't want to be associated with that. At the same time, you do have the ability, New York 3, to vote the person out in 2 years. Martin says, don't forget Biden's corn pop story. Now, Martin, that's true. Him and the chain and corn pop, he's a bad dude. Come on, Martin, don't ruin the narrative of our president. Supermom, what's up, Supermom? Says, the Santos man seems like he played the ultimate pander game. But why is that working? Why is that working? All right, a lot more text, and our congressman, AL1's Congressman Jerry Curl, joins us next, and we'll see if he's made up any stories as well.